And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Have you ever looked at the top, the masthead, as they call it, of my monthly newsletter? And if you're not getting our newsletter, by the way, you can call us and get a free sample copy of our monthly newsletter. But if you have access to a computer, why call? You can just go right away to powerofprophecy.com and click on the feature article for this month, and there'll be a lot more besides that, even bonus articles that our webmaster, Jerry Barrett, puts there. But if you read the masthead, the, you know, the top part of the newsletter, there's a Bible quote. It's from the book of Revelation, a wonderful book of prophecy, by the way, that God says in the book of Revelation that you'll receive a special blessing from reading it and keeping it close to your heart. A special blessing. Do you need a special blessing, folks? If you don't, we'll just pass on by. But if you would like to have a special blessing from God, read the book of Revelation. It's got all kind of strange things in it, symbols and, I mean, everything from colors and numbers, 666, and it's a different kind of book, isn't it, of the Bible. And yet, God says you'll receive a special blessing from reading it and studying it. There's no other, in the 66 books of the Bible, there's no other book that actually says that. Of course, you know, the great men of the Bible from David and so forth, they said that the word of God was their delight, and they delighted in his way. So it is delightful, I think, to read any of the Bible. Now, myself, I've always thought just reading the Gospel of Matthew or John, if you read that, it's sort of wilting the wonder. The loveliness of the Gospels and the words of Jesus. Some Bibles still have the, you know, the words of Jesus in red. Just read those and it's enough to make you cry and say, this man surely is the Son of God. And I think many people still say that today, reading the Bible for the first time. Seeing the words of Jesus and the sayings of Jesus, they must exclaim, this truly is the Son of God, who has come from heaven to save us. I know that's the way I believe. You know, a lot of people, I remember some years ago, a man asked me, what is the best book on Satanism? I want to know more about the Church of Satan and Satanism and what they really practice and all that. How do I learn about Satan? I said, well, the best way to learn about Satan is to go to the Bible. Well, that's about God, isn't it? Yes, but it also tells you that Satan was defeated by Jesus on the cross. It tells you about people who were afflicted with demons and they were cast out by the power of the blood of Jesus. And Jesus himself healed so many of demonic affliction. And I said, read the book of Job and you'll see what the devil tried to do to one of God's servants and see what the end result was. He said, so the Bible is the best place to find out about the devil? I said, yes. And God's victory and how you can have victory over the devil and over demons. So he went away. I think he was a little bit confused. He thought, that's not the best place to learn of the devil. Of course, the devil would love to have you go to a bookstore. And by the way, it's still a bestseller. Did you know that the Satanic Bible, by the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton Zander LaVey, is still a bestseller? Barnes & Noble says it just continues to sell. There's still plenty of fools out there and gullible idiots who will buy the Satanic Bible. Well, I could tell a lot of stories about that Satanic Bible. I've studied it myself. God had me to read it. And it says if somebody's troubling you too much, they might be a candidate for sacrifice. In other words, murder. Real nice book. Do not let your sons and daughters, especially teenagers, read that book. I believe in reading that book, unless God has called you to read it so you'll know these things and expose them. Do not get that book. Don't have it in your house, friends. I believe it does. Invokes. It brings in devils. Don't do it. Anyway, let's go back to the Bible or the Revelation. You read that all you want to, and I'll tell you, you'll get a blessing from it. Not like the Satanic Bible. This is, oh, it's wonderful. But listen to this. A lot of people say, in the last days, will the Jews have power over the nations? You know, that's one of the myths of the Judaic religion. They're going to set up a Jewish utopia and they'll rule the whole world. A lot of Christians have bought into that. A lot of Christians have told me, evangelicals, they say, you know, Tex, there's going to be a new millennium here on this planet and the Jews will rule over all the nations. I said, really? The Jews, that's right. Even the ones that don't believe in Jesus, that's right, they say. If you got the Jewish blood, you're going to rule the nations. I say, wow, show me that in the Bible. And you know, they can't. They get very frustrated when they try to show it to me in the Bible. But I show them Revelation 2, verse 26. Here's what it says. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Think about that. He that overcometh. See, Jesus said that we are to overcome just as he overcame. He overcame the devil. He overcame death on the cross. How do we overcome? Yes, even death by the cross. We're born again to eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. We become overcomers through him and not of anything that you and I do. No works or we'll boast about them. Look at all that I did to deserve eternal life. That's not going to work. That's an arrogant, see, that's pride. The Bible says pride goeth before the fall. Overcomers. In another place in the book of Revelation, it says that the overcomers, that overcoming is done by your testimony, your witness, and the blood of the Lamb. Two things, the blood and your witness. And that's how you overcome the beast in the last days, the Antichrist. Can you imagine your tongue has the power to overcome the beast, the man 666, who will rule this world for a short period before he's put away and sent down to hell? Think about that. Your tongue has the power to set you free. How? By acknowledging that Jesus is Lord and Savior. That he came in the flesh as our Savior. That's the way you overcome and you witness by telling other people. You confess that Jesus is Lord and that he has accomplished this great work in you. He has accomplished. Don't say, yes, I accepted him. I believed in him. I changed my mind. I became a new person. I threw away my liquor. I threw away my porno. Websites or whatever you're into. I hope nobody's listening to this or into those things, but a lot of the world is. All these things I did, I got myself cleaned up. I went to AA and I know right away a man's not of God when he says those things. And after I clean myself up, then I'm holy and I'm serving God. No. Friends, you go to God dirty. You go to God sinful. You go to God saying, I can't do it myself. I'm a big nothing. I don't have the power. I'm too weak. I'm down in the valley of despair. I'm looking up, Lord, help me. And then a miracle occurs. And then God reaches down to you. And what he has already done on the cross, he imparts to you. And there you are, suddenly he cleans you. I've always so admired people who volunteer to take care of invalids, people who are handicapped and can't even bathe themselves or take care of their bodily functions. And these wonderful, lovely people, whether it's their career or whether they're a loved one, a wife or a brother or a husband, and they lovingly take care of this injured family member or patient. She can't do it themselves. They're incapacitated. Somebody has to do it for them, and so somebody with loving hands does so. This is like God. You're a quadriplegic. You're nothing. And I'm not saying that quadriplegics are nothing, because there are a lot of them that are better off than you and me in many ways, that are richer with God even. You say a quadriplegic doesn't have any life left. Are you kidding me? If they come to know Jesus, then they're going to be in eternal life with a new body someday. What do you mean they don't have anything left? You're out of your mind. There are many people in wheelchairs and handicapped that are better off than men who have great Olympic muscles and bodies, but who are headed for hell. I'd rather be in a wheelchair than win the decathlon at the Olympics and be headed for hell. As long as if I'm in that wheelchair knowing that Jesus Christ is my Lord. But in any case, listen to this. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Who has power over the nations? Who keeps God's works? Jesus is saying this in Revelation. He's the angel, you might say, of prophecy, the Lord of prophecy. Whoever keepeth my works unto the end. Do Jewish Talmudic Jews keep Jesus' works unto the end? Have they overcome through the cross? No, they reject Jesus. They despise him. They call him a blasphemer. They call him a devil in their Talmud, in their book of laws. That's what the rabbis do. They're not overcomers. They're in cahoots. They're in the league with the devil. They're in the devil's hands. They're in bondage, Galatians says. Yes, even witchcraft is what they're practicing. They don't keep Jesus' works unto the end. They have rejected him and his works. They cannot have power over the nations. They don't even have power over their own bodies. They're prisoners of Satan. And their bodies, their flesh, is in bondage. So who will overcome? Those who are saved by Jesus, Christians, who trust in him, who he has cleansed up. Boy, talk about it. God knows how to clean right too. It says that those who are of him have neither spot nor wrinkle. Think about that. Neither spot nor wrinkle. You say, well, I have a few spots in my life, a few wrinkles in my life. No doubt about it, friends. That's why you need Jesus. He's like the dry cleaners. He doesn't leave any spots on there. And he gives you new garments to wear. And he invites you to the love feast of the Lamb. And if you don't have the right clothes on when you get there, you're in big trouble. Read about that in the Bible. Okay. Let's go with some secrets today. I like secrets, don't you? I like commenting on some news in a way that other people don't do. That's what you get from Text Mars, and you expect it, and I'm going to give it to you today. For example, this. How about President Obama? You see, this is the 39th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. We really don't know how many abortions there have been, even partial birth abortions, but some say 50 to 70 million Americans have been slain, slaughtered, through abortion. And it's the 39th anniversary of the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision, when the Supreme Court said that states could not prohibit abortions. Oh my goodness. President Barack Obama had something to say on the anniversary. He said that the Supreme Court did the right thing, and we need to, quote, Listen to this, folks. We must continue, this is President Barack Obama's words. We must continue our efforts to ensure that our daughters are able to fulfill their dreams. That's the way he sees Roe versus Wade. Abortion is a way for our daughters to fulfill their dreams. The dream of killing a baby? Are you out of your mind, President Barack Obama? Well, yeah, you are. Well, I go from babies to, believe it or not, donkeys. That's right. We're going to talk about donkeys. Now, I'm going to tell you about something that maybe it won't stir your heart, but it does mine. It makes me very angry. Is it a sin to be angry? Not all the time. Not always. I'm furious. I'm upset. Let me read this to you from CBS television in Houston, Texas, and radio in Texas. Talk Radio 650 had this news item come out, dated January 19. Listen to this, folks. Dozens of donkeys killed at Texas State Park for being threat to the ecosystem. It says there are 300 wild donkeys roaming Big Bend State Park. That's, first of all, I think Big Bend is a national park, isn't it? So we're talking about a national park, Big Bend. That's a national park. These people, they hadn't got a good education, they don't know what they're talking about. But evidently, the National Park Service says these 300 wild donkeys have to die. And they've already went out and slaughtered 75 of the wild donkeys. Now, Big Bend National Park is one of the biggest national park systems in the entire United States. I understand that there are, what, 36,000 acres. It's huge, friends. And most of it is just desolate wildlands, prairie grasses. I mentioned this article to a friend of mine, and he said, you know, my wife and I drove through Big Bend National Park. It's a very beautiful place. And several times we saw donkeys way out in the distance, just mildly eating some of the prairie grass. And I asked my wife, how can they even live here? It's so desert-like. It's so, you know, dry, and it's a horrible place. You know, even a donkey wouldn't want to live here. Well, evidently these insane, wild, satanic environmentalists claim that the original habitat of Big Bend, a national park, had no donkeys. That Western settlers, you know, white people, Indians or whoever, came in there through that area, and maybe the donkeys got loose and mated or whatever. And so there are these wild donkeys, 300. They counted them, the Park Service, and counted 300. And they say all 300 of them have to die. Now, there's plenty of wild prairie grasses for the donkeys. And if not, wouldn't it be nice for our Park Service to do something decent and bring in some hay for these donkeys to eat? In fact, 100,000 signatures have been collected on the part of animal enthusiasts to stop the indiscriminate killing of wild donkeys at Big Bend Park. But the Park Service says, no deal, we don't care, 100,000 signatures, we're going to kill the donkeys. Friends, this is what I've told you about the environmentalists. They're evil, satanic, black-hearted people. They don't love, you say, oh, well, they love animals, they love trees. No, 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 they want to destroy the forest. They want to destroy the trees. They want to destroy habitats. I was reading up in Illinois, around Chicago, environmentalists are demanding that up to 50,000 trees be chopped down in the suburbs of Chicago. They said that the original habitat of Chicago area was prairie grass thousands of years ago. We must return Illinois to its native habitat. That means kill all the trees, cut them all down. They want to mow down the trees. They want to get rid of all of our dams. Now, once they get rid of Hoover Dam and Grand Coulee Dam and all the dams in the United States, then the waters will just flow out and drown millions of all kinds of different species of animals below those dams. And not only that, they'll probably kill some people and certainly destroy all the property of towns and villages near the dams. But we want to return the water to the flow that it had before when it went wild. Yeah, when it flooded everybody out. And besides that, many of these dams give us hydroelectric power. But they don't care if you don't have any electric power. They don't care if thousands and thousands of animals will be flooded and drowned to death by the dams when they're destroyed. They want to destroy. Their hearts are black with destruction. The people like Al Gore, who wrote Earth in the Balance, Al Gore, who ran for president of the United States, was vice president, Al Gore, who said in his book that nature in its fullest is God. That's the God they believe in, nature. But they even hate it. They hate nature. While claiming, a lot of people claim they're tree huggers. They want to cut down the trees. These people are monsters. That's why in the book of Revelation it says that God will destroy them which destroy the earth. They're destroyers of the earth. See, they come like bearing gifts at first. Say, we just want to save Mother Earth. We love our mother. No, they don't. They want to destroy it. If they wanted to return the United States to its native habitat, they'd have to create some kind of a deep freeze machine to do it. Why? Because originally, the continent of North America, including the United States and Canada, was covered up with ice. Back in the Great Ice Age, there was nothing here but ice. So the original habitat was not necessarily prairie grasses. It was ice. And if you go to Big Bend, by the way, up in West Texas, you find it's like a miniature Grand Canyon. You know, the great big crevices and the beautiful rocks and all. That's not its original look. That was created through who knows how many years that God caused the earth to form the way that he did. God created the earth. 6 days. I don't know how much a day is to God. The Bible says one day is as 1,000 years. Some say that must mean 6,000 years that God created the earth. It took him 6,000 years. I don't know. Whatever God meant, he said it, and I just trust that he created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Just don't tell me that didn't happen, because you don't know what you're talking about. It did happen. But I'll grant you there may be some symbology there. I leave that to God. But I'll tell you one thing, he created everything. There was nothing, and he created something out of nothing. Now, Stephen Hawking and all the other physicists with their quantum physics, and I've read all of their books and everything, and some of their ideas I just laugh and scoff at. Like fossil fuels, you know, all the dinosaurs died on Earth, and their bodies decomposed and became oil. That's how we get oil. You're burning up when you buy a can of oil, put in your car or gasoline, you're using up dead, decomposed dinosaur material. Get ready to laugh, folks, because you hear that? We're running out of fossil fuels. You idiot. You're crazy. They are. And we did not descend from some monkey or ape or whatever. The Darwinian. A silly theory. I'd like to have met that guy. I bet he was an idiot. Don't you know? I bet the guy he didn't even know how to comb his hair right, brush his teeth. Charles Darwin. Well, anyway, I say these things because I'm just a meanie. You know, the truth can be very tough, can't it? I'm sorry if you're a Darwinian out there. If you're one of those evolutionary environmentalists that want to destroy the dams and cut down the trees and return everything to prairie grasses and kill the 300 wild donkeys. Listen to me, friends. I say save the donkeys and put the lunatic environmentalist in jail. But that's just me. If you agree with me, though, I'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to save the donkeys, let me know. I might just start a campaign. I might drive out there and raise a little, I don't want to raise Cain. Don't want to raise hell. Christians don't do that. What do? We bring heaven down by telling the truth. There we go. I don't think we can really bring heaven down. We don't have the power to do that. How about just simply make trouble for them? The Bible does say, you know, that Christians, true Christians now, not these evangelicals that, don't get me started there. But, you know, true Christians, the Bible says, they turn the world upside down. They made trouble. I love the story of Elijah, the great prophet in the Bible. He made a lot of trouble for the ruler Ahab and his sexy wife, I guess you'd call her that, Jezebel. And one day they faced each other face to face, King Ahab and the prophet Elijah, and the king said, "So you're the one that troubleth Israel." In other words, you're the troublemaker, huh? I've had people tell me that. "So you're the troublemaker," text Mars. I finally meet face to face the troublemaker. And I usually laugh at them when they do that. I just smile. You know, Jerry, that's my problem. Jerry Barrett's over here. He's my engineer. I haven't gotten mad at these people for a long time. I am mad at killing those donkeys. Can you imagine slaughtering 75 donkeys and going to do the rest of them? Even though 100,000, the government doesn't care if 100,000 people object and sign signatures. They don't care. They just do it anyway. They don't care what our rights are. They don't care about saving life. They're monsters. You know, I did a book, a video. See, what was the title of that video about Israel? How the torrent of evil that was coming out of Israel? Yeah, Cauldron of Abaddon. You know, folks, a lot of people said, "Oh, Israel is the Holy Land. Israel and Jerusalem is such a lovely country. I went through your own tour and they showed me these things. Oh, I was so touched." Folks, listen to me. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus went to Jerusalem and there he was slain. I'm sorry, but I don't really care to go there. For one thing, he ascended and is in heaven. He has a throne in heaven. And I don't really care to go visit the descendants of those who kill my Lord. You can go there. I don't call it the Holy Land. And you know what? Revelation 11 tells us that in the last days, Israel will be spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Evil. That's where the beast rises up out of the earth. You say, "I've never heard of that before." No, the preachers don't preach you what the Bible says. Revelation 11. That's where the two witnesses come and preach of God and of Jesus. And they're slain in the last days. And their dead bodies lay on the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. See, I've never heard this before in church. I know you haven't. It's a secret, isn't it? That's why we have secrets time. Is Israel a wonderful holy land? Well, I've got some press articles for you. I'm just going to get them out to you. January the 23rd, rabbi gets 30 years for sexually abusing daughter. An American rabbi has handed down a 30-year jail term for abusing his own daughter. Well, that happened in the United States. Rabbi Israel, you've got the name Israel, Weingarten, sentenced to 9 years. Here's another one from Israel. Rabbi Mordecai Elon, accused of sexually assaulting one of his students and another youth in 2003 and 2005, the Israeli daily newspaper Haaretz reported on its website. A senior rabbi of a Zionist community. Here's another one for you. Dated December 23rd, 2011. Israeli rabbi charged with raping teenagers. Here's another one for you. Dated, also January 23rd. Top rabbi to be tried for sex crimes. And then here's another one. Rabbi urges no mercy in killing of Gazans and Palestinians. I'll tell you more about that when we turn on the other side. A rabbi said that Israeli troops must show no mercy in the killing of the Palestinians. He said the Talmud, our holy book, says have no mercy. Murder them, kill them, and be happy you're serving God. That's what the rabbi says, and we'll find out his name and more when we return here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. Do you have a copy yet of my newest book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star? Boy, what a book of secrets and revelations and mysteries solved that is. Conspiracy of the six-pointed star. What is the meaning of Israel's symbol on its flag of the six-pointed star? Does it indicate the number of the beast of prophecy, 666? This book is packed with amazing information. It's an encyclopedic textbook, easy to read, with all kinds of secrets revealed about Israel, the Jews, the Rothschilds, the Zionists, and how they've taken over America. You'll also read much of what the Talmud says. What does the religion of Judaism really teach to the rabbis? And what are the rabbis teaching in their synagogues? Amazing things in this book. The first book ever published like this, and I've spent many years in preparing it, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Stars, Secrets and Revelations Never Before Uncovered, now in print. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, the book is being offered by us for, let's see, it's $25. Okay, if you buy it at a bookstore, it'll be $30. But here, we'll give it to you for $25. It's a huge book. You know, like my book, Codex Magica, and my book, Mysterious Monuments. It's a huge encyclopedic book, big as a phone book, about the size of three regular books combined, for a total of $25. Add $5 shipping and handling, so that would actually make a total of $30. $30 then postpaid for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Here's how to order it. Phone is toll free, 1-800-234-9673 during the regular week, 8 to 5:30 Central Time, here at Power Prophecy Ministries, and a lovely and wonderful person, man or woman, will take your phone call and fill your order for you, and I think you'll enjoy talking to them. We've got some wonderful people here. They love you. They feel that you're part of our family, and it's, you're just not a number or, you know, a John Smith. You are a friend. And that's what we consider you. That's how we serve you here. And one of the things you'll find out from Power Prophecy is when we take an order for a book or a video or a DVD, a CD or audio tape, I mean, we take your order and we put it in the process right away. It doesn't sit on desk. It goes right into the, you might say, the work mill. And pretty soon it's being shipped out here, usually the next day. Now, it may take a few days for the mail service or whatever to get to you. And, you know, they're slower than ever, it seems. And I understand that Congressman Darrell Issa, who's head of the committee that overlooks the U.S. Post Office, says that they're doing such a bad job and so incompetent and losing money that it looks like the U.S. Post Office will have to lay off 260,000 more people. Well, that's a shame. You know, we have actually less people working for us now today at Power Prophecy than we had at this time last year. But we get out your mail by the next day. We fill an order by the next day. Now, if it comes in late on Friday, we may have to wait over the weekend. You know, and that's one of those things. Then the Opokio Post Office will get it to you when they can, I guess. But we get it to them, believe me, as soon as we can. And the reason why is because you deserve it. You know, you're like our brother, our sister, our mom, or our dad. We're going to take care of you. You know, we're not going to, you order the thing, you're going to get it. And we care for you. When I order something, I don't want to wait 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks. I want what I ordered. So you know what? I believe I've set a policy here. I've set a policy here that we move on these orders, that we get out your orders. And the reason why is because we love and we care for you. You're our friend, part of our family. And we've been doing this for 25 years. And anybody who's ordered a lot of stuff from us, many times they say, wow, you're the only one that does that. I order from other groups. You know, we get phone calls saying, can you call this other ministry or this other organization and help us get the products we ordered? They ask us to help you get products from other organizations. Well, we can't do that. We can't tell some other group, you know, that they're late in helping you. You'll have to call them and complain. And I'm sorry about that, but I know one thing. If you call us saying, well, I didn't get my order, we'll take care of it. Now, remember, the Postal Service is slower today than it's ever been. So please be patient, but know that we will take care of you from this end. And we do it with a smile on our face. We like to serve you. We enjoy sending out our videos and our books and our tapes and CDs. Okay. Die, America, die. Is that what we're talking about today? Oh, okay. Well, I have a new video too. Die, America, die. You can order that as well. $25 and $5 shipping and handling. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star is my newest book, and it is $25 also with $5 shipping and handling. So you can get the book or the video. Die, America, die, the video. What a whopper of a video that is. I mean, that's a big video. When I say whopper, I mean truth in 80 minutes form. Wow. You know, people, they watch this video and they can't believe it. It's got all the documentation, everything in it. One guy said I had to keep putting it in slow motion to take down. He was writing down, you know, making notes as it went along of all the various documents and things in it. It's just a tremendous video. Die, America, die. Again, it's $25 or Conspiracy 6 points or $25. $5 each for shipping and handling. And our address, by the way, if you want to send us a check or a money order or cash, is Power Prophecy, 1708, Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, you can go to powerofprophecy.com and order it there with your PayPal or your charge card or both. And then, of course, you can phone us during the work week up until 5:30 Central Time. And that is toll-free. We'll pay for it. Pay for your call. 1-800-234-9673. When you order anything from us, we automatically extend your subscription on our monthly newsletter. If you've never ordered from us before, we will automatically, unless you tell us not to, I don't know why you would, we will automatically begin to send you, as a minimum, a six-month subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Okay? And as long as you order something every 6 months, you'll continue to get our newsletter. A lot of people call us and say, why don't I get my newsletter anymore? Well, you haven't ordered in 6 months. We sort of think you don't love us anymore. Well, I know you love us, but we want to be good stewards and we don't want to send it out to somebody that doesn't want it. So we sort of take it that if you order something from us, even a tape or a CD for $8, we'll just extend your newsletter for another 6 months. And believe me, it costs us more to send you your newsletter than it would for just a mere tape or whatever that we get from you. Okay, let's return now to our regular program. This is the Volume of Secrets, Volume 186, in fact. Secrets, Volume 186. Listen to this, folks. A rabbi urging no mercy in the killing of people in Gaza. He's the chief military rabbi, Brigadier General Avi Ronzki, R-O-N-Z-K-I, if you want to Google up the name. He's the Israeli army's chief rabbi, and he has put out a little booklet. He says you should not show mercy to the enemy. And let me just read part of what the guy says. He says, quote, these are not games at the amusement park where sportsmanship teaches one to make concessions. This is a war. Don't show mercy. Well, you know, back in the war of 1967, the Israeli army had won a great battle, and there were around up to 5,000 Egyptian soldiers that surrendered. And they gave up their arms, put up their hands, and they were marched out of the desert. And you know, the international laws of war, the Geneva Convention says that in wartime, POWs are supposed to be taken care of. You don't have to give them Cadillac treatment, but just enough food and water to live and shelter. What did the Israelis do? General Moshe Dayan and the Prime Minister of Israel ordered the unarmed POWs of Egypt to be forced out into the middle of the desert, and there they were to be slaughtered like pigs. And they were. Think about that. Tanks, machine guns, And there they were, all huddled together and slaughtered, murdered. Whatever happened to the laws of war there? See, the Israelis complain, oh, look what happened to us in the Holocaust. They put us in camps and did ABC to us. But look how pitiless, look how merciless they were to the Egyptians. I always look at it this way, friends. You know, every person in war, every man or woman nowadays that fights in a war, whether they're an Egyptian, an Israeli, an American, or of some other nationality, they are human beings. They are people formed by God. And they have potential to serve Jesus Christ. They have potential to be eternal beings. Maybe some of them are Christians. There are Christians, you know, in Egypt. We don't know that they were all Muslims. But in any case, it is a horror to take these people. By the way, after they killed them all, then they took bulldozers and covered up their bodies. So nobody would know about the mass murder. How did it get out to the world? An Israeli general knew he was doing evil. And many years later, in retirement, he called a press conference and admitted to the world what he had done. He had been given orders to do it, but you know, the Germans said, we were given orders. And the Israelis and the Jews said, that's not good enough. You must die. And they hung him at Nuremberg after torturing him, by the way. That's right. New evidence has come in now that all of the prisoners at Nuremberg, the Germans, were tortured into their confessions. Did you know that one of the Germans even testified that he'd been commandant of a concentration camp that didn't even exist? After being tortured, he says, yes, I was commandant there, and I ordered the killing of Jews there. They hung him. Later it came out that there was no such concentration camp that even existed. Think about that. He confessed to a crime he didn't do after being tortured. They pulled out their fingernails. They put hot irons on their bodies. They beat them senseless. Jewish interrogators at Nuremberg and the American lawyers knew exactly what they were doing. They tortured the Germans, often to confess to crimes they did not do, and hung them. And now these same kinds of Jews and their hatred for the Palestinians are committing heinous crimes, such as happened in the war of 1967, which, by the way, was the same war in which the Israeli Air Force was ordered to attack our USS Liberty ship, and dozens of our naval personnel were murdered by the Israelis, and that has never been repented of. I was watching Michelle Bachmann, who was denying that it had even happened. She was on a radio talk show with a man up in Cincinnati named Jan Michelson. And Jan Michelson cowardly said, well, the Israelis paid reparations for that. Friends, when you've lost a loved one, reparations don't mean squat. They don't mean diddly. But in fact, that was a lie, Mr. Michelson, of the Cincinnati radio show there. They never paid one cent. They claimed they did not do it on purpose. It was an accident. They thought it was a foreign ship. No, they knew. It flew the American flag, the USS Liberty. It had very light armament. And for hours and hours, they attacked it and flew right past the flag. They knew what they were doing. They were ordered to do it. And Admiral McCain, who was the father of John McCain, covered it all up. The Jews got away with the murder of scores of Americans on that USS Liberty, 1967. And at the same time, they were killing thousands of unarmed Egyptians, POWs, who had surrendered in the desert and covering up their bodies. And now, Rabbi Brigadier General Avi Radsky has distributed pamphlets to Israeli troops sanctioning the killing not only of combatants, but of civilians. He says to these people, it's okay to kill men, women, and children, and have no mercy. It's what our law says. It's what God tells us to do. You know what the Bible says in the last days? Jesus said they will kill you and think they do God service. Well, are all Jews evil? Apparently not. My good friend Henry Macko, who's Jewish up in Canada, he's exposing a lot of these things. Good for him. Professor Marjorie Kahn, C-O-H-N, she's Jewish. But recently I received this article published in globalresearch.com. It's also published by my good friend Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Listen to what she writes. She has an article she's written, Professor Marjorie Kahn. Let's see if I can find out where the good professor is. She's professor at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law here in the United States. The Thomas Jefferson School of Law. Seems like she learned a lot of things there. She wrote an article that's entitled Pressure Israel, Not Iran. It is Israel that has an arsenal of 200 to 300 nuclear weapons. She says, under the 1968 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, Iran has the legal right to produce nuclear power for peaceful purposes. The United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, has found no evidence that Iran is developing a nuclear weapons program. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta recently said on CBS that Iran, quote, is not currently trying to build a nuclear weapon, end quote. Nevertheless, writes Professor Kahn, the United States and Israel are mounting a campaign of aggression against Iran. The United States has imposed punishing sanctions against Iran that are crippling Iran's economy, and the U.S. is pressuring other countries and strong-arming financial institutions to stop buying oil from Iran, the world's third largest exporter. She goes on to talk about how Israel is threatening to attack Iran. And they've actually murdered, they've assassinated a 32-year-old Iranian nuclear scientist in the city of Tehran. Assassinating people. Murdering them. For what? There is no atomic bomb in Iran. They have no plans to build any. Did you know that all 16 American intelligence agencies in 2009 put out a report? The CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, the leaders of all 16 American intelligence agencies put out a joint report that said Iran has no nuclear weapons and is not involved in any program to create or build a nuclear weapon. And even if they began to do so, it would take at least 10 years for them to build their first nuclear bomb. Yet, Netanyahu, the prime minister, and the leaders of Israel, and Barack Obama, and such monsters as Newt Gingrich, and Romney, and Santorum, and Michelle Bachmann, all of these filthy, dirty, and that's what they are, they're dirty-hearted neocon warmongers. And that's what Professor Marjorie Kahn, this precious Jewish lady from Thomas Jefferson School of Law, she's trying to explain to people who in the Middle East does have nuclear weapons. Who is developing more weapons? Israel. Who is not a signatory to the 1968 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? Who is not a signatory? Israel. Who has violated over 50 United Nations resolutions in the Middle East? Israel. Who should America tell to close up its nuclear bomb factory and to give up its up to 300 nuclear weapons? Israel. If we're going to attack anybody, it ought to be Israel. John F. Kennedy told the Prime Minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, he said the United States will not tolerate Israel having nuclear bombs. We will not tolerate any nation in the Middle East having nuclear bombs. We, the United States, said President John F. Kennedy, demand that Israel give up its nuclear weapons. And its, you know, factory to make these, its capability to make nuclear bombs. Well, according to historians now, Prime Minister Ben-Gurion of Israel was furious and angry. So I want to ask you the question, friends. President John F. Kennedy not only told David Ben-Gurion to his face, but he also sent a letter to the Prime Minister in which he said, "We're going to send an inspector over to your nuclear installation in Dimona. And we, the United States, will see if you're building nuclear bombs. And if you are," the threat, of course, was that Kennedy would cut off all the big billions of dollars in aid money going to Israel and would expose Israel to the world. You see, Israel has lied all these years. For almost 60 years, they've lied and said, "We don't have nuclear bombs. We don't have them." Bunch of filthy liars. John F. Kennedy called their bluff and said, "I'm going to send an inspector. And you better let him in." That was the situation. By the way, a lot of this was documented by Michael Collins Piper. Michael Collins Piper, MCP, I call him. My good friend, the American Free Press. He wrote, I think, one of the best books ever published. Jim Morris wrote a great one about Crossfire, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Jim Morris, another Morris man, as we call us. The man from planet Mars, Jim and Tex, two men. But my good friend Michael Collins Piper wrote a great book entitled Final Judgment. Now, there's final judgment on who killed John F. Kennedy. He says the Israelis were in it up to their necks. Did you know that while he was in jail, Jack Ruby, who had been ordered by his Jewish mafia friends to assassinate Lee Harvey Oswald so he couldn't talk, while he was in his jail cell in Dallas, Texas, he was visited by the famous Jewish attorney, William Kunstler. You'll remember him. He defended the Chicago Seven during the hippie era in their trial. William Kunstler wrote in his book, he wrote a book about his life story and what he had done. He was a radical, a pro-leftist Jewish attorney. He said, "I visited Jack Ruby," and whose real name, by the way, was Jacob Rubenstein, a Jew, "in his jail cell. And Ruby told me," he said, "Mr. Kunstler, I killed Lee Harvey Oswald for the nation of Israel. I did it for Israel." Basically, what he told Kunstler was, Israel did it. Their Mossad spy agents were involved with American agencies and such, and together the Israelis killed John F. Kennedy. And I was ordered to kill Lee Harvey Oswald so he couldn't squeal and tell the nation and the world who really did it. I murdered Oswald for Israel's sake. Kunstler said that. He explained that. By the way, Kunstler was no doubt a big pro-Zionist, but I bet even that probably shocked him. He probably had, I suspect he shocked him. I don't know. Maybe he already knew. By the way, according to even the Warren report, Jack Ruby went somewhere interesting the night before he shot Lee Harvey Oswald to death in that garage there in the police department building. You know where he went? He went to visit his rabbi at a Dallas synagogue. He went to visit the rabbi at a synagogue. And yet they said that Jack Ruby was not a religious man. He rarely, if ever, went to the synagogue. But the night before he murdered Lee Harvey Oswald, he went to visit a rabbi. I don't know whether he gave his, you know, version of a confession or what. Or maybe that's where they gave the orders. The mafia met him there at the synagogue and said, "You will do ABC. You will murder Lee Harvey Oswald." And they probably told Jack Ruby, "Well, don't worry. We'll have you committed to some insane asylum, and you'll stay there 2 or 3 years, and they'll declare you sane then, and you'll be free. And we'll make you a hero in Israel." You know, they told Monica Lewinsky, "Help us to get Bill Clinton, and then you and your mother can move to Israel, and we'll make you famous. You'll have plenty of money, a big luxurious house." That's why Monica Lewinsky moved to Israel. Jonathan Pollard was the most hideous spy who stole tens of thousands of American Defense Department top secret and secret documents. Jonathan Pollard, an American Jew, born in Galveston, Texas. He stole these documents, gave them to the Israeli Mossad at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. What did they do with them? Well, Israel sold them for billions of dollars to Red China. Israel sold America's most precious military secrets to Red China. And Jonathan Pollard sits in a prison cell in America right now today. Is Israel America's ally? They murdered our sailors at the USS Liberty. There were no reparations, Mr. John Mickelson, or Michelson. I don't know how you pronounce that name, from Cincinnati. And by the way, I remember being on the Michelson show some years ago. He hadn't invited me recently. I guess he found out that I'm an anti-Semite. That's what they say I am, because I expose Israel. Of course, I expose France and Britain and the United States. I guess I'm anti-French, anti-Britain. I don't know. I don't care about labels. People can put labels on me all day long. But I love what Marjorie Kahn says. She said it's the neocons in Israel and the United States. They're escalating their rhetoric, trying to get Americans all pumped up for war with Iran. But we shouldn't be pressuring Iran. There's nothing to pressure. Ahmadinejad is an elected, yes, he's an elected president. And he doesn't have any nuclear weapons. And they've said over and over, we don't want nuclear weapons, we don't need them. Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction, but we attacked and killed 1 million Iraqis in the process anyway. Afghanistan did not have Osama bin Laden living there, but we attacked him and killed who knows how many hundreds of thousands of Afghanis anyway. Now we're going to do the same thing to Iran, but they have no nuclear weapons. They have nothing. A lot of people say, well, Iran will be a lot harder to knock off than Iraq. No, it won't. They say their navy is mighty. It's cigar boats. You know those speed boats that look like cigars? That's about all they got. They have the equivalent of John F. Kennedy World War II PT boats. They don't have a real navy. And as far as an air force, Iran doesn't have much more than what the Shah of Iran left them. And how long ago was that? During the Jimmy Carter era? They don't even have the spare parts to fix the planes. I bet 90% of them won't even fly. They're just there for looks, just deteriorating out on the flight lines. Some people say, but they've been given the newest missiles by Red China and Russia. Oh, baloney. Iran is not a threat to anybody. This is all hocus pocus to get America into another war for a greater Israel in the Middle East. And, of course, to steal Iran's oil like Israel stole that of Iraq. Get Die, America, Die. You will find out that there are two nations that got a hold of all the Iraqi oil and are getting it today. America invaded Iraq, but who got all the oil afterwards? We gave it to Red China. Israel is getting paid by Red China for Iraq's oil. Did you hear what I just said? Israel and Rothschild are being given all the money for Iraq's oil. It's being pumped out of the ground. They're paying Iraq $2 a barrel. They sell it on the world market for $100 a barrel. They're making 98 out of $100. The Israelis, Rothschild, and Red China. Those are just some secrets, my friends, you need to know about. It's been my pleasure to be here today with you, Tex Mars. Please tune in each week. My prayer is you'll become an overcomer. And not only that, you will keep his works unto the end. And therefore, you will be given power over the nations. Revelation 2:26. Until next time, my friends, Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy.